This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
All right, Power Hour, big timers coming up. Blake James makes another appearance, athletic director at Miami. Always love having Blake on the show. We don't know where his locale will be. He has surprised us in the past with great locales, Blake James has. And Sophie Jones from the Duke women's soccer program will make her debut on the show coming up here in about 15 minutes.
There you go. Couple of notes. We go around the ACC here to start the 9 o'clock hour on this Tuesday. Pack, they're going to have an NCAA tennis tournament, and it is chock full of ACC teams.
Loaded.
Both men's and women's.
Yep.
Nine ACC women's schools, or nine men's teams, both made both the men and the women's field, I should say. And good heavens. You start looking at the list on the men's side. Obviously, Virginia, North Carolina, Wake Forest are in the top 10. Duke, Georgia Tech, Miami, NC State, Notre Dame, and Virginia also, or Virginia Tech rather, also in the men's tennis championship. So there you go.
Give me that list. Give me that list one more time.
Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah. Give me that list one more time.
North Carolina.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry. I was looking. I've got both lists here, and I was making sure I was reading the right one. Virginia, North Carolina, Wake Forest, Duke, Georgia Tech, Miami, NC State, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech. That's the men's side.
Yes, sir.
All right, you ready?
Yes, sir.
Women's side is next. North Carolina, NC State, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Virginia, Duke, Miami, Syracuse, Wake Forest. There you go.
Got it. Noted.
How's that?
Excellent. You know, we keep bragging about spring sports in the ACC, right? Soccer has yet to lose. We had five on the men's side, five on the women's side. Nobody's lost the game yet. Here we go with tennis. Field hockey, we're down in the Final Four. It's a North Carolina-Louisville combination taking on two Big Ten teams. I don't need to tell you about how lacrosse is working out. We know how ridiculous that looks from a men's and women's perspective. I mean, it really is incredible what ACC sports is doing with the Olympic sports. I mean, it is mind-boggling how good it is.
Yeah.
And from baseball, again, Notre Dame's in the top 10. An incredible story, which we'll get to. You know, we talked about Pitt being an amazing story. And then you got the rest of the casting characters, the Louisvilles and the Florida States and everybody else chasing them. So, again, there's so much going on, Wes. Again, we're going to go around the ACC here, some heavy baseball, because there's some games tonight of note and this afternoon. But, man, you know, the Final Four ends, you kind of think, oh, the season's over. Wrong. Wrong answer. I mean, between tennis and golf and field hockey and soccer, lacrosse and tennis, I mean, it's just fantastic.
Yep. Very quickly, you mentioned Notre Dame. They're the highest ranked of the ACC teams. There are four teams ranked in the latest rankings. Notre Dame is 7, Louisville 15, Pittsburgh 17, Florida State 18. Notre Dame and Louisville have clinched spots into the ACC Baseball Championship, which starts 3 weeks from today in Uptown Charlotte. So congratulations to Link Jarrett and to Dan McDonald on those accomplishments. So those guys go to their final two weekends of conference play with knowing they're already in Charlotte. Now, the race for the remainder of the field is a little tricky. So there are a lot of really good teams, and could be one or two on the outside looking in by the time we're done. So all that being said. All right, you mentioned the games tonight.
Wait. How good is the ACC baseball tournament going to be here in Charlotte? You said it starts 3 weeks from today. You know, God willing,
right.
3 weeks from today. Do you realize how good that tournament's going to be? Seriously. I mean, it's always competitive.
It'll be lights out. I mean, it
has a chance.
Yeah.
It has a chance.
Yeah, really does. All right, one stat. We got a handful of games tonight. Pack's already said Justice Thompson's going to have multi-hits against Campbell. We both agreed on that. That's the game you'll see on ACC Network. Let's run down the list tonight. This is a really good night for the limited non-conference games, because we got some local games going at it. All right, Louisville-Vanderbilt.
Ooh,
that's a good one. Since 2010, Vanderbilt and Louisville have won more games than anyone else in Division I. That's on ESPNU this afternoon, 4 o'clock. 509 and 506.
Two of the best managers slash coaches in college baseball. Corbin has been phenomenal at Vanderbilt. And McDonald, we talk about with Louisville, what he's built there. Two of the truly best of the business, two great programs. And Louisville coming off a disappointing weekend doesn't want to sit there and go, hey, we don't need to be sliding in May here. It's go time. So that is a big time showdown. And again, later this afternoon, 4 p.m. Eastern time on the ESPNU. That'll be great stuff.
Yeah, it will. Wake and Liberty play today. Here's a stat you need to know about Tom Walters' Deacons. We talk about every game seemingly is high scoring. Well, guess what? Of the 235 runs, 50% of them have come on home runs.
Goodness. Well, what happened over the weekend? This NC State Wake Forest series got to be goofy. I mean, what's going on? Jet stream? They moved the fences in to 200 feet? What's going on there, Wes? I mean, everybody's pounding it in Winston-Salem. It's crazy.
Yeah. Flying out across the street from the old Dixie Classic Fairgrounds. Just flying on out of the street.
Joey Chitwood right there at the Dixie Classic Fair. Yes, sir. I remember many good times over there at that Dixie Classic Fair.
You got it.
Yes, sir.
Yep. NC State plays Mighty Elon tonight. Elliot Avent, Mike Kennedy matching wits.
Please.
Wolfpacks won 7 of the last 8 against the Phoenix, the Fighting Phoenix.
They lost to Phoenix.
Including the last 4 in a row, which the Pack has out.
Elon beat NC State once in baseball? Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
Where's the fish?
Yes.
Where's the fish?
Get 9 on here, and he will tell you
see this
that
right
they
here?
Are good. 9 will tell you that Elon's good. Mike Kennedy?
What do you think?
Yeah, Mike Kennedy did a great job.
What do you think, Wes? Tonight, grilled, blackened, fried. How would you like the fish tonight? Huh? NC State wants to ask, grilled, blackened, or deep fried, Wes?
All right. Okay, I got you. Thanks. By the way, when you do your special pickup and drop off tomorrow, you might want to hand that fish to Miss Jean.
No.
Miss
Jean doesn't want that Elon. Does she want that Elon fish? If she wants it, because tomorrow is a very important day. Tomorrow is a really important day.
For all the checks that Miss Jean and Hey Woody have written to the institution, she might deserve the fish.
I'll tell you what. You ask Miss Jean if she wants the Elon fish, and I will give it.
Well, you can ask her right now. She watches the show.
Well, I mean, listen, tomorrow your brother Taylor and Miss Jean are coming down the Dixie Highway there in I-85, and we're going to rendezvous, and we're going to make an exchange of the world-famous egg custard pie, which I've never had. And we're going to make the exchange tomorrow. And if Miss Jean wants the Elon fish, I would be more than happy to remove it from the basement. So you let me know what she says on that. Especially after what NC State does
to him
in baseball.
And I'll put it on the shelf here.
That's it. All right, there you go. That's what I'll do.
All right.
Done.
Elon, NC State tonight.
Done.
By the way, NC State's 39 runs against Wake Forest, most in the ACC series since 2008.
They were pounding.
And they've outscored the Phoenix 55-7 in the last 4 games. Come on, Kennedy. Let's get it going tonight.
Again,
Virginia
deep-fried,
and VCU.
Grilled or blackened? How would you like the fish?
Same. Okay. We'll check on it tomorrow.
Go get him, Elliot.
Zach Messenger struck out 10 in 4 1/3 for Virginia in a 5-3 loss to VCU back on April the 20th. Those two meet again tonight. Brian O'Connor's team will look to keep the momentum going. So we'll see if Messengers gets in the pitching line tonight for the Cavaliers against the Rams. It's pretty good. Struck out 10 in 4 1/3. The last game to give you one stat on. Carolina and Campbell tonight, right here on ACC Network. UNC leads the all-time series 36-10. Campbell's last win against an ACC opponent. May 31st, 2019, against NC State in the NCAA tournament. So we'll keep an eye on the Tar Heels and Camels tonight. Packer and I have both said Justice Thompson gets multi-hits.
And so by the way, that would be the NC State logo on there, and that will get somebody fired right there, that NC State logo. I will say this. North Carolina after the weekend they had in South Bend. Because let me tell you something. There were two teams this weekend in ACC baseball that did not have a good time, especially on the road. One was Louisville, right? First time they'd ever been swept in a three-game ACC series since joining the league. So they got the big bounce back tonight against Vanderbilt, who is outstanding. And then there's North Carolina that went and saw what Notre Dame's all about. And the Irish baseball program is rolling. And it was not pretty for the Heels. So their pitching got banged up. So I'm expecting some bounce backs for the Heels tonight against Campbell. I'm just saying. Just saying.
Yep. Yep. There you go. That's around the ACC. We got you covered in the tennis. We got you covered in the baseball. There you go. And Campbell in Carolina right here on ACC Network. Yeah. On the other side, Sophie Jones is going to join us from Duke's women's soccer program. Looking forward to catching up with her. It's her debut. We have had outstanding guests today, and we expect nonetheless in the Power Hour. Sophie Jones and Blake James set to join us as we continue on the Tuesday show on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Bunch of guests. Told you, Blake James coming up here in about 15 minutes, running the show at the University of Miami. We look forward to his return engagement. But right now, making her debut on the show, Duke soccer.
Yeah.
You ready to roll? I'll tell you, the soccer programs are undefeated in the NCAA tournament. Sophie Jones and Duke, ready to go. You ready to do it?
That's exactly right.
All right, let's go. Sophie, what's happening?
Hey, how are you guys?
So before we get started with this debut, can you confirm that you're in the back of a van? Is that correct?
Yes, I'm in the back of a van. Our media guy's holding up the phone, but we're trying to make it work.
I think that is great. Mike Bray, the head basketball coach at Notre Dame, has made it famous on this show by doing interviews from his car. So I think you are now setting the bar extremely high, Sophie, that not only do you make your debut, but you make your debut from the back of a van. That's even better.
Hey, if you'll have me back, I'll maybe do a boat or something. We'll see.
There we go. Boat. I like it.
I like it.
Hey, Sophie, take us through the game winner against Arizona State the other day. That must have been pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, that was really fun. Just a hard-fought game. Arizona State's a great team. They obviously got a late equalizer. And then in the second overtime, our keeper made a great save, started our attack. And Maggie Graham played a great cross into me, and I was lucky enough to get my foot on it and win the game.
Three goals in the last five games. What's going on? You eating right? You sleeping right? I mean, something's going – I mean, you got something figured out here. What's happening?
Yeah, I mean, just great service from my teammates. Team's playing well and putting me in good positions, and luckily enough, they're going in.
All right, but this has kind of been a weird year, and we've talked about it with everybody from coaches to student-athletes, administrators in the conference, everything. I mean, so now here we are in May playing something that traditionally happens in the fall. So has that been different?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about it for a while. We've been here since July. So just working hard. I think it's been awesome because this team feels closer than we've ever felt. But yeah, it's definitely been weird, but it's exciting that we've been able to have a tournament. And I'm just happy that we get to still continue to play.
Sophie, I don't mean to get away from soccer because that's why we have you on, but I'm just now too curious. It looks like you're parked in some kind of strip center. Where are you? Well, I mean, you're in the back of a van doing a network television interview. You haven't been like kidnapped or hijacked, have you? I mean, you look like you're in a strip center somewhere. Where are you?
Our team's having Panera right now. So we have like Panera, Starbucks, Chipotle, all the classics are around us. So,
the classics, yes. as some would say, the major food groups of college athletics, right, Sophie? Panera, Starbucks, Chipotle, you know, those are the major food groups, right?
the necessities, exactly.
I tell you what, do you realize how many bonus points you could have if whoever's driving that van could take you through a drive-through at Bojangles, who's a sponsor? That would be like one of the ultimate name, image, and likeness moves that's ever been done on television. Just tell you that right now.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
That would be great. All right, back to soccer. Up next is Ole Miss. What do we know about the Rebs? What do we know about that crew?
Yeah, they're a great team. They came back from 2-0 down against USC to pull out a great result. So they're going to be a tough team to play. But yeah, just really excited to play them. And I think if we just stick to what we know, it should be a good game.
Sophie, this has been, we talk about the year and all the things going on, but to kind of be riding a little bit of a wave this time of year, what's the key thing for you guys? I mean, I know you're talking about connectivity and things like that with your teammates, but you guys, you said it's been that way since July, right? I mean, I know at Duke where the protocols have really been stringent, you kind of have no choice but to connect.
Yeah, exactly. We've tried to keep a tight bubble since July, so it's kind of forced us in a way to spend time together, but I'm not complaining. I love every single one of my teammates, so it's been fun, and yeah, we've gotten to spend an unprecedented amount of time together, and yeah, I think it's really helped on and off the field.
So what's your go-to at Panera? I mean, you're sitting here doing the interview, everybody's swallowing whole. Did you get to eat before the interview? Who's the teammate that takes care of you while you're doing becoming the face of the program during this interview? How does that work?
Yeah, I actually haven't gotten my food yet. But my go-to, I usually go for a turkey avocado sandwich. That's like my favorite thing here. But yeah, I got a couple girls in my class watching my food, making sure no one touches it.
There you go. That's cool. Now, I'm going to follow up with you because I know that you were born in San Francisco. Now, I am a humongous San Francisco Giants baseball fan. Do not disappoint me. Do not disappoint me, Sophie. What's your go to in San Fran?
I live like 45 minutes away, so are we talking about restaurants?
No, whatever you want. I mean, baseball, restaurants. I mean, I love the Bay Area.
Baseball.
So it's one of my favorite spots.
I'm a Giants fan as well.
There you go.
I'm a Giants fan. I grew up with 3 World Series in 5 years. Yeah,
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, for sure.
Sophie, look at this. Look at this right here. Look at this. This is in my office. Awesome. This was at the stadium last year on the front row. That's my cutout right there.
Oh, that's awesome.
There you go.
No, Giants for sure.
There you go. You're my all-time favorite guest. When you can mention 3 and 5 years, you don't have to say anything else. My all-time favorite guest. Just like that.
That's awesome.
Sophie, I guess my question's a little bit, it's not about the Giants as much as being from Menlo Park. How in the world did you end up at Duke? Because Menlo Park is about a half mile from Stanford.
Yeah.
I know. Growing up, my mom went to Stanford. My grandma went to Stanford. I kind of always thought that I'd stay in California, and I went to Durham, and I just fell in love with the culture of the school. The coaching staff was amazing. The cafeteria was like the best rated cafeteria. So it just kind of all everything aligned. And blue is my favorite color. So everything worked out, and I'm happy with my decision.
Mm. I mean, seriously, had you gone to Stanford, is there any way in the world you would have been doing an interview on the Pac-12 network on the back of a van in a strip center waiting on Panera? No, that only happens in the ACC. That only happens in the ACC.
It was meant to be. Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. You know, we talk about soccer in this league, though, Sophie. I mean, the men, unbelievable. The ladies are fantastic. And listen, no disrespect, Stanford's had an amazing run with all their Olympic sports as well. It's an incredible academic institution. But it is amazing, though, especially given the fact that we talk about this nonstop on the network. The spring sports, the Olympic sports in particular, are so good and so deep and so competitive. I know that you're having fun with your crew and everything else, but man alive, every time you go out on the pitch, you just realize, hey, we're taking on somebody ranked in the top 10, top 15, whatever the case may be. It's just got to be the perfect time to be a student athlete at Duke or really anywhere else in the ACC?
Yeah, every single game is going to be tough. Even the worst teams in the ACC are the best teams in other conferences. So it makes us better because we play against the best. And yeah, definitely being in the ACC influenced my decision as well. It's a great conference.
Well, I tell you what, you guys have done a great job. I know Coach Church has done a great job as well. You got to be excited about what lies ahead. Is it hard to compartmentalize, Sophie?
I think we're just trying to take it one game at a time. You know, we're just thankful to even be here and playing games. So just focusing on Ole Miss and going from there.
I'll tell you what, between the COVID stuff, the ACL, I mean, you've been through it all, but this has got to be a great time to say, listen, you know what, we're healthy, let's go play, have a blast for the NCAA tournament. But before we let you go and swallow whole, and hopefully your teammates have been loyal and have that food waiting for you at Panera, we do need to ask you our traditional question, and that is not why you're in the back of the van, because you've answered that, but what has been your most difficult course at Duke University?
Oh, that's tough. I took a class on censored books. That was like, we read Pinocchio, which was like in Italian and from the 1800s. So I think like trying to understand that was complicated. But yeah, that'd probably be my hardest class up to date. But I haven't taken my math classes, and that will be the most difficult for me.
Wait a second. The class was on censored books, and you had to read Pinocchio in Italian?
Yeah, Pinocchio was actually a lot more messed up than we previously thought. So, yeah, it was. It's not a children's story, and then Disney kind of changed it. But, yeah, definitely something I learned in my freshman year.
No wonder why you didn't go to Stanford.
I'll tell you what we're going to do, Sophie. Here's what we're going to do. Since the ACC network is part of ESPN, which is owned by Disney, we're going to leave that part right there. How's that? You want to do that? We just want to let that go right there and just go with the Disney version? What do you say?
Yeah, love the Disney version. Let's stick to that.
Hey, let's stick to this.
That's
go
it.
Duke
let's stick to
and
the
go
Disney
Giants.
Version.
How about that? We'll do that combination.
Exactly. Right?
There we go. Go great. Giants.
Well, listen, it's been a pleasure. We wish you the best. Stay healthy, all right?
Thanks so much. Great meeting you guys.
Same here.
You too. Sophie Jones of Duke. They get Ole Miss in the next round of the NCAA Women's Soccer Tournament. When we continue on this Tuesday edition of Packer and Durham, the Miami Athletics Director is Blake James. He will join us next. We'll kind of get caught up on all the things going on in his world, including the actions last Friday in the state of Florida that set the table for name, image, and likeness to begin on July 1. We'll catch up with Blake and more right after this on ACC.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844-SAY-ACCN. Student athletes out of sight today. Really funny, entertaining. Always a good. Been there and love them. All right, making his multiple appearance.
You know what else?
What's the matter?
We're gonna have to. We should ask Blake James this. Of all the classes, we need to start asking coaches and ADs what their hardest classes were, because the answers we've gotten from the student athletes today, data visualization was that was from Abby Sweet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stephen Schock gave us accounting two or whatever it was. The compliance thing, capstone compliance. Sophie Jones just told us censored books.
Yep.
Censored books. I don't know. Blake James is with us, the AD at Miami, who's always spectacular. Appreciate his time as always. Maybe we'll think about it. We're going to table that. We won't ask you your hardest class, Blake, in college today. We're going to table that maybe next time. But we've had unbelievable answers to Packer's traditional question today, in addition to just great student athletes. And as Mark always says, it's not that we don't enjoy talking to ADs and other administrators and folks in college athletics, but the student athletes, as you know, that's the premium for which this whole thing operates, and they've been sensational for us today, and you've got great ones as well.
No, we're all blessed. It's a great conference, and obviously it's representative of the students we have putting on all of our logos and going out and competing and doing the great things they do academically. And I definitely understand the desire to talk with the students over the ADs and the administrators. But I am going to take that softball question you threw out there. I think it was Business Law 415 was the one that really gave me a good lesson. So that'll be the one I'll throw out there.
Ooh. But you've applied it well, even though I must tell you, little disappointed, given the fact that we've seen you with palm trees in the backdrop. We've seen you in the Northeast Coast. And now you come, I guess you said, hey, it's time to use the on-campus studio, which every school has forked a nice piece of change to do state-of-the-art. So I see that we've now come full circle with our interviews with you.
I know, I'm a little disappointed that I only have the typical background here that you get from so many. I'll try to make my next one a little more exciting.
I tell you what, though, speaking of exciting, nothing could have been crazier than the state of Florida with the name, image, and likeness legislature last week, where it was a fake left, go right, it's on, it's off, we're pushing it back. Mm. But now we've kind of got it back on track. How would you describe your emotions given that last week? Because it was all over the map.
What caught me completely by surprise. Again, I thought it was something that obviously was done and in place. We had the governor here in June of 2020 signing the bill into law. Our students were excited for it. Our administration was preparing for it. Obviously, it's the right thing to do. And so to also have that curveball come late Wednesday night, and honestly, I don't think I was aware of it until Friday or Thursday morning. And again, credit to the government relations team at the University of Miami. I know they were working with some other schools in the state, and obviously appreciate the our representatives there in Tallahassee pivoting back and getting it right for our students.
Blake, I know you went to social media after the resolution was finally corrected, at least in the way that we had looked at it before. And beginning on July 1, you said Florida position once again to take the lead on NIL legislation as a fix now heads to the governor. Our student athletes were heard, and big thanks to Miami for carrying it across the finish line. Your school, as a private institution, has been at the forefront of this. What have you seen? And how many of your colleagues have touched base with you about what, you know, they're going to get into when their respective states move forward on law?
Yeah, we've had a lot of conversation nationally and obviously here in our state. Again, I credit our representatives in Tallahassee for, I think, really doing a good job of creating an opportunity for our young people to be able to monetize their name, image, and likeness, while at the same time putting some guardrails in place that I think really protect an institution in intercollegiate athletics that has had such a tremendous impact on so many hundreds of thousands of kids when you look at it, not only here from our state and our country, but from around the world that come to the United States to compete in the sport that they love while earning a degree at a higher institution of higher education that really sets them up for life. And so, you know, we're excited to be able to go forward. I think there's a lot of excitement around the country. I know with each passing day, it seems like other states are addressing it. You have a lot of conversation going on in Washington, D.C., like so many in my position, I'm a believer that we have to have one standard, and I'm sure that will come. But until that point, we're going to continue to prepare with the Florida law. And if the Florida law is the one that became the one standard, I think it would be a win for students, and I think it would be a win for college athletics.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with that. Let's talk about your sports. Yesterday, the NCAA announced both the men's and women's tennis tournament. Miami is in both. Wes and I keep bragging about how great the spring sports, the Olympic sports have been in this league. And at the University of Miami, that is certainly not an exclusion because you guys have really had great success.
Yeah, we really had a great spring. And again, it was exciting yesterday for both our men's women's tennis programs, our women 25 straight. You know, Paige Yerushuk, too, is our head coach there, is just done such a great job on really establishing a standard of what Miami women's tennis is going to look like. And then Alosha, who's come in with our men's tennis and just has really done a tremendous job in turning it around. And again, you talk about how strong the league is. I don't remember exactly what our record is in league, but I know it's not a winning record, but it's great to see that the rest of the country recognizes how strong the tennis programs are in the league, that we're able to go just under 500 in the league and have the opportunity to compete amongst the best. And we've earned that given the level of competition in the league. It's just it's so tough.
Blake, you mentioned these sports, and look, we all understand football, basketball; those are the kind of the headliners, and then, you know, certainly baseball has had a great tradition in this league. But we're starting to see sports, and Mark and I have witnessed it with lacrosse, and that's a sport I know that you don't have at the University of Miami. But the value of a sport and building that sport, whether it's something that's, you know, as popular as football or basketball to, you know, like a tennis program that can have great stars but maybe don't get the notoriety, how much pride and satisfaction goes into seeing that happen from your chair?
Oh, a ton of pride. Again, each one of our individual student athletes, we have over 400 here at the University of Miami, come to the university to get a degree, but with a passion for a sport that they love, and they want to win championships, so whether that's in football or women's golf or men's basketball or women's basketball or women's soccer, on down the line of our 18 sport offerings. Each one of those young people come here and really have a desire and a passion to be the very best. And so to be a part of that experience and see them having success, you know, really that's what makes the job all the more exciting. Again, when you look at, I think one of the big differences between professional athletics and collegiate athletics is we have such a broad spectrum of offerings. And I think that's part of what makes, for me, the job so much more fulfilling than if I was working just with one team. You have, you know, here at Miami, we have 18 different teams. And I know there's schools in the league that have, you know, a far greater number than that. And it's just something that I view as very rewarding, and glad to be able to be a little part of that experience and really supporting them and being the very best they can be.
Blake, I know there's a huge anticipation, as it always is, for college football. And with Derek King back and a number of pieces back, there's a lot of folks whispering about Miami and the U. What can you tell us as far as the fan experience expectations for this fall? Because every time I hear an AD go, hey, we're good to go, or we're close, or we're moving in this direction, I think everybody's kind of just got this anticipation that, hey, we've reached the finish line, let's go, even though we haven't. And there's still protocols and things you still have to do to get to August, September, October. So where are you right now, big picture, as far as Miami football this fall with the fans?
Well, the first thing I know is we're in a much better place on May 4th of 2021 than we were on May 4th of 2020. Mm-hmm. And so having gone through what we went through last year, and again, we have the benefit of Hard Rock Stadium and the Dolphins, who do so much research and so much investment in creating experience. Last year, we were able to have all of our home games there. We didn't have any issues at the stadium. And again, credit to the great job the Dolphins and Hard Rock Stadium do, and our staff, obviously, putting those protocols in place. Our fans follow those protocols. My hope and plan is that we're able to have a full capacity, or the ability to have full capacity. But as we all learned last year, we'll pivot and do the things that we need to do. But I'm confident we'll have football playing there. And as we sit here today, I believe that we'll have the ability to have a full house. With that said, as you touched on, we're not through the pandemic yet. We need people to continue to do the things they need to do, whether that's getting vaccinated or following the direction from the local government. Those are things that we're going to do. But we're looking forward to one opening in Atlanta, September 4th against Alabama, and then coming back home here against Appalachian State September 11th.
Yeah, well, no, you've got the schedule. There's no doubt. I know that, by the way, Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta announced they lifted the restriction to 100%. So starting, I think, in early June, they're going to go to 100%. Blake, that's got to be great for your fan base for opening night against Alabama, right?
We're excited. Looking forward to having that game. Obviously, you have one of the most successful programs of all time. And when you look over the last decade, I don't think anyone can argue against what Nick Saban and the Alabama team have done. And so, you know, it's a situation where we have an opportunity to go out and play against one of the very best. And we're looking forward to it.
Yeah, I guarantee you, everybody will be talking about that, is for sure. I want to get to baseball real quick. Great tradition, great history. And let's be honest, at times your baseball program has looked out of sight, whether they're sweeping Clemson or somebody else. And then there's been moments where you go, man, what's going on? Again, much like a lot of teams, there's been some highs, some lows. It's the baseball season. That's the way it goes. But how would you categorize Miami baseball right now as we head down the stretch here in May?
just inconsistent. You know, and part of it is, you touched on it earlier with so many of our programs, the league is just so tough. And we added two more series in where you're playing ACC opponents, and it's just tough. Anyone can beat anyone in baseball on any given day, and it happens. And I think we've just been a little inconsistent with, you know, some of timely hitting, to hitting just in general, to our pitching. And, you know, as you touched on, one weekend we're sweeping Clemson, and, you know, next weekend we're, you know, having, we're losing, you know, two out of three. And that happens. Part of that's ACC baseball. I do think we're probably a stronger team than where we're at, but we need to be a little more consistent in order to achieve the success I think we're hoping for at the start of the season.
Blake, I know the baseball coaches went to the extra series, if you will, cut down on the midweek games. But yet I also recognize Miami as a program that has a lot of midweek opponents and a lot of attractive midweek opponents. Is there a happy medium there in baseball? We go back to what I would call the normal structure of the schedule. Do you see any changes taking place with the way the scheduling has gone? In all honesty, I'll tell you, I like the extra conference series. I think it's been good for the league. It's been a lot tougher, but I think it'll make the league better maybe once we get to postseason.
You know, I think it'd be interesting to see how the evaluation goes this year postseason, because my only hesitation is we're losing half the games we play against each other. Just reality is, eventually in a baseball game, one team's going to lose. And if we're playing more ACC games, you know, we're going to go 500. Only one of the two teams is winning. I like the fact that we have non-conference games where we can go out and play. Again, for us, we opened the season in Gainesville against the University of Florida, a great SEC opponent. We take two out of three games. That's good for the league. You know, midweek, we're playing Florida Gulf Coast. We're playing, FIU, FAU. I think all those wins are good for the league, and I think that is reflective across the league. So I understand the desire for more league competition. I think it's really important for us as strong baseball programs, and that's where our league is, that we schedule strong non-conference competition. But I do think a non-conference component to our schedule, and again, I don't know the exact number, but I do think a non-conference component is critical to really ensure that we get as many deserving ACC teams in the postseason as possible. Because if we're all going just in conference, or we significantly cut down the non-conference, I don't think we're going to get the credit nationally for really how good ACC baseball is.
Blake, I'm curious, what kind of feedback are you getting from your coaches regarding the transfer portal?
I think it's still an unknown, and obviously in some sports it's always been there. I think when you look at football, I think Coach Diaz has really done a great job of managing it. It's the continued evolution of what it looks like to be or what college athletics looks like, and what it means to be a student athlete. And so it's something that you know, we have to all, you know, recognize it's part of what's going to be there going forward. I hope that there's really a lot of thought that's put into transferring, because as we all know, there's tough days on any job. And part of our job as administrators and leaders and coaches here is to really prepare our people not only for what comes next in sports, but more importantly, what comes next in life. And you both know there's times where you have difficult bosses, or bosses that maybe don't treat you the way that you feel you should be treated, and those things. And so I'm all for kids being able to transfer. I just hope that there's really thought put into why they're transferring, and it's not a knee-jerk reaction, for lack of a better term, based on they didn't get enough shots, or they didn't get enough playing time, or those types of things. Because again, as we all know, and there's bigger things in life, and one of the great things about sports for so long is I think it really prepares young people for the challenges and competition that you need to be successful in life.
Yeah, good point there. Hey, I know the commissioner has been doing his listening tour, and you told us before we came back on the air, you were the first stop. So how was Jim Phillips' first visit to Coral Gables as the new boss?
It was outstanding. You know, Jim is just a genuine he's a winner. You guys know, you guys have spoken to him, and for him to take the time to travel to each one of our institutions just shows the type of person he is. Our student athletes were thrilled to be able to meet him, get time talking with him. Our coaches that maybe always don't get that type of attention were thrilled to get time with him and be able to share thoughts and ask questions. And again, just real credit to Commissioner Phillips for, you know, taking time out of his schedule when he's got so many things going on. to spend a day on each campus just tells you a lot about who he is and really the how bright the future of our conference is under his leadership.
Blake, is there any doubt whatsoever that the new commissioner, who's coming from right outside Chicago, took inventory of the ACC and said, I'm going to do a listening tour. My first stop, let me think. I'm going to Coral Gables. Was there any doubt
Miami.
That you were going to be number one on that list? Yeah. Any doubt?
No, obviously, you know, I have a bias, but I was trying to convince him we should have a satellite office here in Miami for him during the winter months. So I'm not sure he went for that one, but, you know, had he made those trips in February, maybe he would have been a little more inclined to think about a satellite office in Miami.
I tell you what, if we do a better job on ACC Network, maybe he can afford to have that satellite office down here at Coral Gables, right? It's really the burden's on us to get that job done. That's up to us.
We'll have the Packer and Durham show go right out of South Beach for the month of January and February.
Now, let me tell you something. Let's do it during the baseball season so I can get some of those shakes. I want to get some of those shakes at the ballpark. We're going to have a baseball season going on.
Blake, can you believe?
There we go.
Blake, I got to tell you this. Packer has only heard. I mean, I've been down there for basketball. I've had a shake. I was there years ago for baseball. I had a shake. Packer has asked Alex Torral, he's asked everybody who's come on here about the shake, and I've told him it delivers now.
We got to get him down here and get a shake, or I got to figure out a way to FedEx you a shake and not have it turn into milk.
No. I'm coming. No need to reinvent the wheel here, Blake. I'm coming. Well, we're just going to road trip down there. That's the way to do that deal.
All right. Let me know. I'll get the expense report approved through the commissioner's office.
Yeah, you know people. You can get something done.
You're awesome.
Love it.
Thanks as always. Be well, and we look forward to seeing you soon, okay?
Always great to be on with you guys. You guys be well, and I'll make sure the next backdrop is a little more exciting.
I like it. It's all good. It's all good.
We'll count on it. That's Blake James, Athletics Director at Miami. Always appreciate his time. Don't forget, tomorrow night at 6 Eastern, if you've missed any of the championships conducted here in the spring, we're going to get you covered starting tomorrow night. Best of the Men's Tennis Championship at 6 and the Women at 8. They were played at the Rome Tennis Center. Not far from here, Pac, about 20 minutes, 25 minutes away over in Rome, Georgia. The last week or 2 weeks ago, I should say, you can watch both two-hour recaps right here on ACC Network and also streaming live on the ESPN app. All right, stay tuned. When we come back, tonight's full schedule of baseball and other things, plus talk a little bit about our visit with Blake James. Very interesting about NIL and kind of the strange 72 hours last week in Florida. We'll cover that and more right after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham, show 377 for anyone keeping score.
Yeah.
And yes, that's every one of those has been streamed live on the ESPN app. Every single one of them. All 377.
Oh, man.
Tomorrow morning, right after the show, is a big moment. We may have to capture that with a picture or something with Miss Jean and Taylor rolling down to exchange the Elon fish for the egg custard pie. And I cannot wait to sample that. Never, ever had one. And I'm going to get the real deal, too. The real deal.
You're going to the Upstate tomorrow. We'll not be here for the Thursday program.
Correct.
So we will we're going to have like an upstate. We're going to have like a picture of you. Are you going to eat the egg custard on the way down the highway
from
Miss Jean?
No. I am getting the egg custard pie.
All right, just
checking. I'm bringing it back to the house and then we make a road trip. I am not going to sample it until we're on the air Friday.
Okay, good. All right.
Is that fair? I'm going to put it in the fridge.
Let's get to the good job. That's a quality move. Let's go to the schedule tonight. We chronicled a little bit of this, but there's a lot to pull from. Here's the full list of games tonight. And you see 3 o'clock, ACC Network. You get Liberty at Wake Forest. 6 o'clock, Campbell at North Carolina. Vanderbilt at Louisville is 4 o'clock over on ESPNU. All these others, where the ACC is listed as the home team, available on the app, of course, and that includes William & Mary at Duke, VCU at Virginia, Mighty Elon tangles with NC State, BC on the road at UMass. On Tuesday night, ACC baseball. We'll recap and give you the details tomorrow on all these games. Thanks to Abby Sweet, fantastic. Stephen Schock, tremendous. Sophie Jones from the back of a van in a parking lot of a Panera waiting on a turkey avocado, tremendous. And Blake James, the AD from Miami, just from a typical background, which was in many ways disappointing, to be honest.
He even said it was disappointing, but he did a great job. He brought the heat, which is always great. Guests are always tremendous. Again, the smart people in the room, you know, Josh, Drew, Meg, back row Hank, the whole crew, they do the job. We just get in front of this parade. Yeah. And thanks to Muffet McGraw and the Notre Dame fencing program for the mask, the fencing mask, which is now going to be right there behind me, glistening, the ND. Wake up the echoes. Yep.
Monty Lee tomorrow on this show, Clemson baseball coach. Bobby Moose, the Wake Forest soccer and women's lacrosse awards. All for you here at 7 a.m. Have a good one.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.